Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For these are the three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. This is the word of the Lord. We'll continue with hymn of the day, number 770. We rise for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel lesson comes from John chapter 15. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will one love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. We'll confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died in the Spirit, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Courage makes you. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes the simple message is best, so this afternoon, call, or if possible, visit your mother. She's worried about you and loves you. In that same vein, compared to the past 2 weeks, Jesus drops the metaphors and talks plainly. I usually attempt to be a little more artistic, or at least to put some structure to the sermon. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But today, reflecting that simplicity, I simply want to walk through the gospel text with some simple comments. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. All things go back to the love of the Father for everything that is his. Jesus, the Son, of the same substance as the Father, shares that love. God loves you. That's the simple message. It might be hard to hear that at times in our lives. The reality of the moment might obscure that, but God loves you. And the great challenge of this life is to know that, to hold on to that, and to understand what that love means. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. One way to understand that love is simply the commandments. God's commandments are his love for us, in that he reveals to us the way of life that brings peace and harmony and life. Being sinners, we know how imperfectly we keep these things, how much we relish war and discord and death. This might frighten us. If we were merely under the law, there would be no way that we could abide in the love of Jesus. But we are not merely under the law. Jesus has kept the commandments for us. The direction arrow for us is first we abide in God's love. And God does love you. So we do keep the commandments. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be made full. By these things, Jesus is primarily speaking about what he is saying in that immediate context. The opposite of the joy, I think we would say, is sorrow. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that the things that bring us the most sorrow are separation and fear. When we are separated from a loved one, either temporarily or permanently through death, we mourn. We experience sorrow in a way that we don't always recognize. Although St. Augustine did when he said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Our greatest sorrow might be our felt separation from God. Something that these disciples on that night were about to experience in the flesh as Jesus would be taken from them. But Jesus, the true vine, remains in us and we in him. Jesus has bridged our separation from God. We are no longer cast out of Eden, but are invited to ask the Father for everything. In Jesus, our sorrow turns to joy. Likewise, our fears have been cast out because he has risen and he sent us his Spirit. Joy, a fruit of the Spirit, grows as we have faith in these words, in these things of Christ. He has conquered death for us. Our joy will be made full on that last day. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Some might call this the new law. Sometimes it's called the greatest commandment. But this is simply life in the love of God. When we know that God loves us, and he does love you, we seek to live as he lived. And it's his life in us. And when we abide in him, we abide in love. What we don't always understand, what the Christian life grows in us to fulfillment, is what the definition of love is. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lays down his life for his friends. And this is the definition of love that Christ means. And he means it most fully through that cross. And I want to pause for a second just to think how far this love extends. Being nailed to the cross, Jesus was praying to his Father for those nailing him. Jesus loved his enemies. He made friends of his enemies. Even when they didn't know it or didn't want it. And his greatest enemies were sinners. Jesus, friend of sinners, has laid down his life for us, putting off everything that was natural to him. He lived and he died for us. That is love. That is what we are called to grow toward, to remain in, to love God, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And this is the great difference between the law and the gospel. The law makes us slaves or enemies of God. We either attempt and fail to follow the letter of that law, or we rebel against it in various ways. But in the gospel, by hearing what Jesus has revealed to us, God loves us and has given himself for us, making us his friends. By hearing that, we are no longer fearful slaves, but joyous friends. We know what God is about, not punishment, but love, not death, but life. Not sorrow, but joy. He's revealed this to us through Jesus and invites us to walk with him as friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. God chose you as friends. We were all enemies of God at first, but God declared us his friends. He chose us and invites us to remain in him. That friendship includes some specific things here. Bearing fruit, which we talked about last week, is simply the growth of love. And that love is never lost. That fruit abides. Everything else will be burned, but love remains. And lastly, we are once again invited into prayer, into a conversation with the Father. Where once around Sinai, Israel asked for a mediator, because the voice of God brought fear, now we are not slaves, but friends. And friends carry on a conversation. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. The simplest definition of the Christian life. It really all is as simple as God loves you and wants you to love each other, to live fruitful, peaceful lives with God and with each other. You are the friends of God. The Christian life is the invitation to grow in the knowledge of what this means and to fruitfully live it. Amen.